Here we go. Guys, I'd love just to start by reading from God's Word and then praying for us. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Mark 10, 42 through 45 this morning. And while you turn there, we're just going to talk a little bit this morning about how abiding fathers, aka forgiven fathers, fathers who have experienced the forgiveness of our Heavenly Father, can lead like Jesus and should be leading like Jesus in all of our relationships. So Mark 10, 42 through 45 says, "And Jesus called them to him, and he said to them, 'You know those who consider themselves rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whomever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many.'" Let me pray for us. Lord, we thank you for the work that you are doing in our lives to call us into an abiding relationship with you. Lord, I thank you for this group of men here that's called Abiding Fathers, that we would come together as a forum in this circle to just say that we want to be your men. And Lord, that's what we're saying this morning. Lord, with our actions, we got up at 6 so we could be here at 7 so that we could learn how we can be your men. So Lord, would you speak to us this morning? Would you use your word? Would you use your spirit? Would you speak to us this morning, Lord, so that we can learn how we can be your men? We give you this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, like John said, been married going on 15 years this year, so we're going to celebrate that amazing celebration this year that the Lord has just kept us together for 15 years. By His grace, by His strength, we are still married, and and He's blessed us with 5 amazing children, 4 biologically and 1 through the gift and provision and blessing that is adoption. So I just celebrate that with you guys this morning. John and I were talking about how a year ago I had 4 kids, and at that time I got to tell you guys that we were going through the process of adoption, and now I can tell you that we've gone through that process, and little Kylan Sheila Clark is waking up at our house in Frisco this morning because God made that happen, and we're so thankful for that. You know, what I said a while ago is what we're going to talk about this morning. You guys have heard it now 4 times, so you guys probably know what we're going to talk about this morning, and that is just how, you know, as men who have been called out of the darkness and into the Lord's marvelous light, as men who have gone from living according to the ways of this world to saying, hey, I want to follow Jesus. I want to be what the world calls a Christian, little Christ, is what God's Word says that a Christian should be. So men who have said, that's who I want to be, how we can lead like Jesus in all of the relationships that we have in our life. So I just want to let you guys just kind of think about, you know, what are all the relationships that you have in your life right now? At home, with your wife, with your children, maybe with, if divorce is a part of your story, you know, ex-wife and stepchildren maybe. Extended family, in-laws, at work, those who, you know, might work for you if you're a business owner, if you work for a company, those who report to you or that you report to them, co-workers, you know, in church, right? Your pastor or the members of your church that you're serving with, in your neighborhood or in your community. Think about the neighbor who lives to your left and to your right, across the street and across the alley. And just think about these relationships that God has placed in your life. And I want you to just ask yourself, how could I lead like Jesus in all of these relationships? And to answer that question and to get an answer to that, we are going to look at Mark 10, 42 through 45. So we just started reading that, and we're going to look at verse 42 first. And just that first part of verse 42, you know, Jesus is saying to those people who are closest to him, to his disciples, hey, come over here, and we're going to talk about something for a second. So Jesus called to them, his disciples, and said to them, And so the first thing that I just want us to remember here is that in order to lead like Jesus, we've got to be one of those who have been called by Jesus. Jesus called them to him. Jesus has called you to him. And, you know, Jesus calls his disciples to him, is what we see here. So what is a disciple? And I think that's just a good place to start this morning and just say, hey, that disciple is a word that we've probably heard said, talked about, defined, you know, just mentioned a lot in our lives. And so I just wanted us to not overlook this morning an opportunity to remind ourselves what is a disciple. And I don't think that opinions are really the most important thing that we could throw out. Everyone might have an opinion of what a disciple is, but I think God's word is the best place for us to always go to get an answer to any question that we have. So what is a disciple? Let's look at Matthew 16, 24 through 25. You can either turn there. I'm going to read it to you guys as a definition for what a disciple is. So then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And so we see there that the definition of a disciple is someone who is willing to deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Jesus. And so who are disciples of Jesus? Those who are willing to deny, die, and follow. And so, you know, just beg you to ask yourself, as we should every day, am I a disciple of Jesus? I know I want to be, and I pray and I hope that we all would be disciples of Jesus. And it's a daily decision. You know, are you actively, daily denying yourself, denying your flesh, dying to yourself, and following Jesus? Because really, there's two camps that all humans fall into. You're either a disciple of Jesus or you're not. And that's what Jesus is getting ready to do here in the second part of verse 42. He's just going to say, hey, this is how the world leads. This is how the world treats people. And so we'll read the rest of verse 42 real quick. After Jesus called his disciples to him, he said to them, you know those who consider themselves rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. And so we just see here that the rulers of the Gentiles, those who consider themselves rulers, there's just something about that right there. It's just, you know, Jesus is saying, hey, you know those who consider themselves rulers. You know, followers of Jesus recognize that God is the ruler of all people, but the Gentiles are not like that. They consider themselves rulers of people. And how do they handle that authority? How do they handle that power? Well, they lord it over. They lord it over people, and lording over just means to rule over, to overpower, to seek to gain dominion over. And then it says their great ones exercise authority over them. And guys, this is how the world treats people. You know, the world is after and has a desire for power, authority, and greatness. But it's greatness, right? It's a different greatness than what God is calling us to. The greatness according to the world, and guys, what all I did is I just looked it up on Google. I Googled greatness, and Wikipedia came up, and Wikipedia says that greatness is all about reputation, status, having a high standing, having superiority. And this is the one that really caught my eye. It said to have a natural ability to be better than others. And I thought, man, that just sums it up right there. That the way the world views greatness is having the ability to be better than others. You know, this could look like climbing the corporate ladder, which isn't necessarily a bad thing in and of itself, but when you're willing to hurt anyone in order to get there and you don't care about who gets hurt in the process, that is where, you know, that can go wrong. You know, greatness according to the world is, you know, using people to our advantage to accomplish our goals, to serve us. And once that power, authority, and greatness is achieved, we want to flaunt it for the world to see. You know, once we've achieved a certain level of lifestyle, you know, achieved a certain level of income, we want to make sure we have the right house, drive the right car. wear the right shoes, the right clothes, go on the right vacations, and then put it all on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram for the world to see that we're better than them. And, you know, I would just ask you guys, does any of that sound like you? Because sadly, I can say that I relate to some of those things. I struggle with some of those things. You know, at the beginning of this semester, me and some friends in the mission field that is Frisco, we started getting together, and as we planted this new church campus up there, we just said, let's gather as men, just like you guys are today, and let's study God's word about how we can be his men. And we opened up to this very scripture. And immediately the Lord convicted me that there's some things, Brad, in your life that need to change. And my prayer request at the beginning of this semester was, Lord, help me to be less controlling and more humble. And because, guys, I struggle with treating people with respect sometimes. I struggle with, you know, seeking to accomplish my agenda. I struggle with getting worldly possessions, holding them as idols, and then using them to show people that I'm better than them. And it's nasty, but that's what sin is. It's everything that's not Jesus. So we just got together this semester and prayed, Lord, would you take away anything that's in our lives that's not of you? Because we want to be your men. And in order to be your men, we need to be different than the world. So we're prone to be like that because of sin. But Lord, we know that through your strength, we can be different than that. And we know that you want to make us different than that. We know that there's a better way. And so we prayed, Lord, would you show us that better way? Would you lead us down that path? And guys, I can just tell you, I'm still struggling with these things today, and you might identify in that same camp as me, as someone who struggles, but I can say today, because of Jesus' strength, I'm struggling well. And daily, I'm coming to him and saying, Lord, I can't do this, but you can. And so we're going to continue reading on in Mark 10, 43 through 45, because so far we've learned that in order to lead like Jesus in all of our relationships, we need to, number one, be his disciple. And number two, we need to be different than the world. And lastly, we're just going to see, hey, in order to lead like Jesus in all of our relationships, we need to follow Jesus's example. So here in verses 43 through 45, Jesus is now contrasting the ways of the world to his ways. And he just says, hey, for you guys, it shall not be so. For whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first must be slave of all. Jesus is redefining greatness. You see, and I think something that's interesting to point out here is that when true doctrine is taught, it divides. And Jesus is drawing a line in the sand, and he's saying, guys, which camp are you in? Because you're either on this side of the line, you're like them, you're like the Gentiles who lord it over people, or you're going to be like me, and you're going to show greatness by serving. You're going to show greatness by being the slave of all. And this, that was major perspective change. That was a paradigm shift for these disciples. And I can only imagine how they just, you know, were looking at Jesus with kind of a crazy look like, what? In order to be great, I need to serve? In order to be first, I need to be a slave of all? And I just think the same, you know, paradigm shift, the same perspective change that really shook the world back then shakes us today, because we struggle with the same things they struggled with. Exercising authority over people, lording power, authority, and greatness over people, and needing a change in perspective on what is greatness. We need that today, just like the disciples needed to be told that back then. And I just wanted you to think about the opportunity you have to truly be great in all of your relationships. You know, I asked you earlier to think about what are all the relationships that you have in your life, at home, at work, at church, in your neighborhood, in your community. But I want you to take a minute and think about those relationships that are in your life that are most difficult. We all have difficult relationships that God has placed in our life. You know, examples for that would be, you know, some of us struggle with our relationship with our in-laws. Some of us struggle with getting along with coworkers for any, you know, particular reason. You know, there's someone in our church that we don't get along with. There's that man or that woman, you know who it is, that you might have just conflict with, and it might be on a regular basis. There might even include someone who you have a difficult relationship with, whom relationally you're closest to, but because of unresolved conflict you're most distant from. It might be someone in your own home. It might be your wife. It might be your children. It might be your ex-wife if divorce is a part of your story. It might be with your stepchildren. But I want you to think about, you know, am I supposed to be their servant? Am I supposed to be a slave to those people whom I'm not living peacefully with, those that are most difficult for me to get along with? And I would just, you know, tell you, hey, look at verse 44, that Jesus says, be slave of all. And so here in a minute, we're just going to talk about, you know, what it would look like for us to lead like Jesus, even in those relationships. And lastly, just look at verse 45, because this is where Jesus sums it all up and says, hey, I've told you how the world views greatness, how the world views leadership, how the world, you know, relates to people and treats people. And I've told you how you should be great by being a servant, by being slave of all. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not calling you to do anything that I'm not willing to do myself. Because God, our Father, God, the creator of the universe, the lover of people, never calls us to do anything that he's not willing to do himself. And Jesus says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And I'm going to give my life as a ransom for many, he says. And I don't think the disciples truly knew everything that Jesus really was saying at that point, but looking back on it, we now see the big picture that Jesus was calling them to be servants, just like he is coming to be the servant, the slave of all. And so we can look to Jesus as our example on how to lead in all of our relationships.